Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remember, in unusual times, it can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word, and I'll be there. Just ask, you know the greatest. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Are you ready to slay another day? So are we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows taught me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jess, I am ready to put together the parts of all the hot men out there to make the perfect man.
Pillowy lips.
Oh yeah, I definitely want that. That's something I want. What else do we want?
I feel like you'd want like the height of like a, I don't know why this is the guy that's, who's the guy from Magic Mike, not Channing Tatum, Joe Magnolio.
Okay. I feel like
he's, I don't know why he's pinging in my head as like a tall guy, no, but I feel like his height.
I want Travis Kelce. He's 6'5" and a behemoth, and he can wreck me. That's what I want.
All right. So his height.
Yeah.
Who's Badonk? I'm trying to think of like a good male butt. Do you know whose butt? Do you know whose butt?
Whose butt?
I'm trying to think of his name. The guy from the Time Traveler's Wife show, the newer one.
Yes, I know exactly. Theo something or other.
Theo, that's it. Theo, yes.
Yeah, definitely him.
His butt.
I'll take his
Theo
butt.
James. He Theo has an James. Incredible butt.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, let's see. I mean, like, I want somebody with, like, light eyes and dark hair and a beard.
Okay. I mean, I can get down with that. I prefer dark hair as well. And I prefer a beard.
Yeah.
I will say I'm not picky on eyes.
Well, I always thought that I preferred light eyes, but falling in love with somebody with brown eyes, you just want to get lost in them. They're so nice.
I think the quality you want is just nice eyes, kind eyes.
Mm-hmm. Kind eyes.
I like kind eyes. Yeah. Although I will say my husband has very nice eyes. He has like very beautiful green eyes.
Oh, does he? I didn't know that Will had green eyes.
He does. Yeah.
I haven't looked deeply into his
eyes.
You have green eyes?
Yes.
Let me see those eyeballs. No, I don't. I can't see them.
This is great for podcast.
Yeah. What color eyes do I have?
You have blue eyes.
Well, how do you know?
Because you're blonde hair and blue eyed.
Well, that's
now that we've established that.
Now that I forgot that you had green eyes.
Yeah, I do. They used to change color a little bit more when I was younger, but they've been pretty steadily the same color for most of my life now.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, let's talk about this episode of Buffy, season 2, episode 2, Some Assembly Required.
Yeah.
Now, like, I didn't think that the assembly we were going to be talking about was like human beings' body parts.
Yeah. A dash of this, a dash of that, a little bit of the Frankenstein's monster.
Yes.
A little bit of weird science, which I don't know if I've seen weird science in a while, but have you ever seen that movie? It's an 80s movie. It's with some dudes.
I want to say I've seen it because it falls in that generation of movies, that 80s grouping.
It's like the Rat Pack group. Yes. It's with Anthony Michael Hall.
No, Brat Pack.
Brat Pack.
Because yeah. Brat Pack is like the 60s or something.
Oh, that's, yeah.
Molly Ringwald, is she in it? Because she was in everything.
No, but it's that adjacent, you know?
Okay, yes.
So it's a teen misfits, Gary and Wyatt, design their ideal woman on a computer and freak an electrical accident. Oh, and a freak electrical accident brings her to life in the form of a superhuman, Lisa. Played by Kelly LeBrock. She outfits Gary and Wyatt in cool clothes and surprises them with a Porsche. How does a robot lady? Well, what? Ooh. And then Robert Downey Jr. is in there and he plays a bully.
Oh, no kidding. I guess I could see that. Yeah, I could see him playing a bully at that point in his career.
So it's kind of like that. Like, what's the ideal woman? And we take a little bit of this and a little bit of that. But instead, we take dead women. body parts. We dig them up. We dig them up from the graves. We chop a little of this, chop a little bit of that, and then splice it together to make the perfect woman. But the issue is that we don't have enough body parts of dead women. So now we have to go after live women.
Yeah. We need to find the perfect head for this body, this Frankenstein's monster we're assembling. This episode was kind of fucked. I'm not gonna lie.
It's a little cracked out.
I've seen it twice and I'm still a little bit confused.
Yeah. Because it doesn't make much sense.
No, it really doesn't, but it's fine. I mean, I guess we get some Angel Buffy stuff. You know, we get some like Angel Buffy Xander stuff that we'll get into. We get a decent chunk of Cordelia, which is very exciting, and her kind of coming on to Angel, which was very funny. So yeah, let's talk about some assembly required, where we start off with Buffy hanging out in the graveyard, yo-yoing, Sarah. Mm. She is yo-yoing. Brought me back.
Is a yo-yo something that is considered cool?
No, I don't. To me, it feels kind of like it was like hacky sack.
Oh,
or like, are the guys who are doing hacky sack cool? Probably not.
Are the guys that are hacky sacking still hacky sacking? Because I haven't heard anybody talk about a hacky sack in a good moment, as well as a yo-yo. And I know that there's like plenty of yo-yo tricks. You gotta walk the dog. You gotta do the click clock thing. but I don't feel like the kids are yo-yoing anymore.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Like, are there? Yeah. Are kids, do kids nowadays know what a yo-yo is?
I mean, like, you should call up your niece and ask
if she knows. I'll have to find out.
What a yo-yo is. Do you think that they know what a slinky is?
I don't think so. I just feel like they don't have them.
Yeah.
But,
slinkies like, for a moment.
I mean, yeah, only if you had stairs in your house for slinkies any good, right?
Yeah, so she's hanging out. She's waiting for somebody to come up so that she can murder the vampire, and she gets a little spooked because Angel comes up behind her, and they're having a little chat, and it seems as though there's a little spice between them.
Yeah, there's a bit of a coldness coming from Angel, and it's not just because he's, like, cold-blooded. Mm. Like, he's like, oh, I thought you're here alone. Oh, I thought you'd be here with somebody like Xander. And Buffy is like, oh, why? Are you jealous? And Angel's like, of Xander? No, he's just a child. And Buffy says, oh, because I danced with him. And I love Angel saying danced with is a loose term. Mated with might be closer. It's like, yeah, Buffy, you rubbed your ass all over Xander's dick on a dance floor in front of everyone.
In front of everybody saw it. And I love the fact that Angel brought it up. And I love the fact that Willow brought it up. Like, this is the type of shit that in high school you see somebody do and everybody talks about it for the rest of the school year.
Yeah. And yeah, then, exactly. Because like it's like, yes, you had a moment, you know, you had a little bit of a slip up where you acted like a little bit of a Bitka Buffy. And you just like grinded your ass on someone's dick on a dance floor, but they're not gonna let you forget it. And I appreciate that. I appreciate that we're not sliding that shit under the rug. No, we're gonna pull out our dirty laundry and air it everywhere.
No. Yeah, the sexy dance will not sleep. So
do you think so? Question, like, I feel like Angel is jealous. Like, it does feel like there's jealousy on his end.
That was the same question I was about to ask you. I definitely think that Angel is jealous. I think that Angel realizes that there is things that he's never going to be able to do. Like,
yes,
go on dates with her during the day. And Xander, a alive young teenage boy, gets all the opportunity to do the same thing. So, like, I think that he's realizing that they're just not right for each other at the end of the day. And there's just, like, some shortcomings of him for being a 200-year-old vampire that he can't really do. But he's, like, you know, aggravated about that because he likes Buffy. Who wouldn't like Buffy?
The thing is she admits that, like, she did it to make him jealous. And I don't know. If I am Angel, obviously Buffy is a slayer. She's a queen. She's gorgeous. She's funny. She's witty, right? Like, there are a lot of great qualities to Buffy. But if I'm Angel, I'm like, I am 200 years old, and this is some high school bullshit that I don't want any part of. Now, maybe he just has the mentality of someone who's, like, a lot younger because of, you know, he was kind of stunted when he got turned that age. But I would be kind of over this at this point. But it seems like Angel is jealous. And so they're having this whole conversation, and suddenly Mr. Vampire pops up, and we get big fight. You know, Buffy loses her steak. She's like, where is my steak? Kicky, kicky, punchy, punchy. Vampire's dead.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, what a win. And I think that she was waiting for a particular vampire to come out from a grave, but this vampire did not do such a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so she's like upset, and she's talking to him, like trying to talk to Angel, like, oh, just, you called Xander a kid. Does that mean that I'm a kid? She tries to follow him, and she falls straight into an open grave with an empty coffin at the bottom.
Yeah. Yeah. So this person did not leave in their own accord. It seems as though this person got dragged out, which is peculiar because we're used to people coming up from the dead and walking out in vampire form, I suppose. But it's somebody took this body away from the graveyard. Who? Right. We're not quite sure, because that's the mystery of the episode. At first, we're wondering, is it zombies? Is it zombies? I mean, what else? Zombies?
Werewolves.
No, it's not werewolves. It's not werewolves. No, it's not that.
Never werewolves. No. Yeah. And this next scene after the credits was so funny. I was so, so pleased, Sarah, because you and I have been shipping Miss Calendar and Giles.
Yes.
Since Miss Calendar was introduced. And finally, right here, we get Giles practicing, like, asking her out on a date when Buffy and Xander walk in on him. And I thought this was so sweet that he's talking to an empty chair. I just thought it was so adorable.
Yeah, he's really nervous, and he doesn't know really what to say. I don't think that Giles gets to ask out people very often, so he's practicing, and Buffy and Xander come in, and they kind of make fun of him a little bit because he's acting so official, and he's saying like words, and Buffy's just like, you need to keep it casual. Say, like, you know, I forget what's the phrase that she said. She's like, you know, do a thing and I do a thing. You want to do a thing together?
Oh, yeah. He said, I got a thing. Maybe you have a thing. Maybe we could have a thing. And then her go-to line is, how do you feel about Mexican? And he says, about Mexicans?
Okay, about Mexicans.
Oh, Mexican food.
Oh, my gosh. Giles. Not about Mexicans, about Mexican food, you dummy.
What do you think of Buffy's advice here?
I think that it's good to just keep it casual. Like, I don't think that you need to, this is not the 1850s. Like, we don't have to ask people out on dance cards and, like, formal invitations. Like, just say, hey, like, do you want to go out to dinner? Is all you have to say, which is what Buffy is saying. I think that she simplifies it to too much of a teenagery type of mentality, but I think that her sentiment's correct. Keep it casual. Just ask Miss Calendar out. Mexican food is great. That's my favorite type of food. If you ask me out for Mexican food, I will give a 110% yes success rate. Doesn't matter who's asking me out. If you're going to buy me a margarita and I get to have chips and salsa, then I'm saying yes to whatever man or woman. Or person or vampire asks me out.
Yeah, I think because they already have like an established relationship, you know this person, they're your colleague, they're somewhat of your friend, you've been through some traumatic crap together.
Yeah.
I think you can certainly be a little less formal, Giles. Like, certainly you're endearing when you're all like fancy and everything. But I think you can like loosen up a little bit. And I did enjoy that Buffy and Xander know this is about Miss Callender.
Yeah. Giles is like, how would you know? And then Xander kind of puts together like, well, she's the only woman I've ever seen you talk to. She's pretty. She's somebody that you kind of have like at least an intellectual side in common with.
Yeah. It's and he obviously says that her. She already knows that you're a school librarian, so you don't have to break that embarrassing news to her. And I'm like, whoa. We don't shame librarians on this podcast.
We don't. But I think that has something to say about your theory that, like, friends, like, your friends are probably the best partners in a way. You know what I mean? Like, it's good to start off friends because they already know, like, all the horrible shit. Like, I was so grateful that like Adam knew like the majority of all of my skeletons.
And you know that they're okay with those things because they wouldn't be friends with you if they weren't. So it really,
or they wouldn't be pursuing you if they weren't.
And you just feel generally more comfortable around them. And so I like that. I like that Giles is like interested in Miss Callender and he's thinking about asking her out. I love that he's taking it so seriously. I just think it's like absolutely adorable. So we get into the business talk where shop, you know, talk. Giles asks Buffy about what happened last night, and of course Buffy says, oh, Angel and I took care of him, and Xander, oh, Angel, like, okay, we're gonna have to not do this all season long, because every time Angel is around when Xander is talked about, or Xander is around when Angel is talked about, it's like, ugh, that guy.
This is the worst love triangle that ever existed, because
it's not even a love triangle,
because like Buffy has, I don't know, like she just has zero, all she wants is Angel, and she wants Xander to just be cool.
Yeah. I mean, on the bright side, Xander isn't like hitting on Buffy a ton anymore, which is nice. At least on this episode. I wish that, like, I don't know, I kind of need a frank conversation between Buffy and Xander where she's like, listen, I'm really sorry, like, I was being a total asshole, I was taking advantage of like your feelings for me and trying to make, you know, Angel jealous. Like, I think she needs to be very upfront with him and like clear lines of like, we are friends, that is all we are, you know?
Yeah, we are never ever getting together.
Exactly. So Buffy says, oh yeah, that we got some grave robbers now. And so Giles is like, all right, let me try to like figure out what's going on. And they find out that the woman whose body was taken out of the grave was a woman who died very recently. She was actually their age. She went to school with them. So we know, okay, so it was a female body. That's going to be important for later. This is very typical of these Monster of the Week sort of formulas where we meet these new characters and immediately I'm like, okay, we found our baddies, or like, okay, we found someone who's going to be involved in whatever's going on. We have Eric and Chris, and Eric is taking photos of people in the hallway and Chris is like talking to Willow about the science fair. And for a second, Sarah, I thought we had a new love interest for Willow.
That would have been interesting. I think that, I mean, he seemed nice. And
Eric is the one that's taking photos, and Chris is the one whose brother died.
Okay, so Chris is not that bad of a guy.
No.
Eric is kind of a creep.
I'm not a big fan of a person who's just walking around taking photos of people, like, without their permission.
Yeah. So, and it seems like, Chris is somebody that like Willow knows from school, from their classes together. They're both in advanced science classes. They, you know, he, we'll see throughout the episode, like all he wants is his mom to pay attention to him.
Yeah.
His brother to be alive and happy, and for him to, you know, have like a good life. I don't don't know what Eric wants besides to be a creep.
This is where I was so confused, because I understood Chris's motivation for the whole thing, but where Eric came into the picture, I was very lost, and it didn't feel, again, I watched this episode twice. One time I was really tired, so like I can forgive my, you know, that's my bad, but I just don't understand Eric's motivation,
because Chris seems like he's the smart one that knows how to make this happen.
He's the mad scientist. He's
into science.
Yeah.
But then is Chris just the scout? He just wants to make the perfect woman.
So he's Eric wants to make the perfect woman.
Yeah. Yeah. Eric is kind of just a skis, but like he doesn't have like this. Is he a scientist guy as well? I don't know. I
think so. Again, it's not very clear, at least.
Because he also wants to murder bitches to make the perfect woman.
Exactly. He's just, I think mostly he's just in it for the like make your own girlfriend aspect of things.
Right. Because he can't get his own girlfriend.
He needs to DIY his own
girlfriend. He's like, if I'm going to do this for the brother, then there's a possibility that I too can have my own DIY GF.
Imagine Eric with like a YouTube channel or a TikTok account of like gonna DIY my own girlfriend today.
Yeah, I can see it. But also he's like, step one, take creepy pictures, step two, murder everybody.
Yeah. So as they're talking about the upcoming science fair, Cordelia is pissed the fuck off because she has to participate and she doesn't want to do anything educational, and her project is the tomato, fruit or vegetable.
I gotta tell you, this seems like a very solid science experiment. I think that tomatoes are the best food in the world. It is my top one fruit. One of my favorite foods ever. My other favorite food, salsa, is a tomato product. Yeah. I am very pro tomato. Yeah. When I had a garden, I grew tomatoes. I eat tomatoes every day. I've had tomatoes today already. I had tomatoes yesterday. I'll have tomatoes tomorrow. And although I do feel as though it's pretty obvious that tomatoes are fruit because they have seeds, that's, I think it's a good question. It's a good question. And we should not poo-poo science for tomato science.
The problem is there's no hypothesis because the question has already been answered. We know the answer to the question. So you can't, what are you testing? You're not testing anything.
Yeah, there's not really a,
there's no experiment happening.
This is bringing me back to science and science fairs in general.
Yeah, you need a hypothesis. You need
the thesis. Is that another thing that you need?
Yes, that's the thesis statement is like the conclusion of what you get. Yeah.
Yeah, and then I forget what else, because I never did well in science experiments. But
well, Cordelia, that's Cordelia's project plan, and Eric is snapping photos of her and like really ticking her off because she's under fluorescent lights and she didn't approve of this. She doesn't have a ring light. She doesn't have anything ready.
I do love the fact that at first I'm like, oh, she's going to rip him a new one because he's taking pictures. And it's like, no, actually you can take pictures of me, but it just has to be in flattering lighting.
Exactly. So Buffy comes in and yanks Willow away because she's sending up the bat signal. So it's time. We got to talk about the, you know, missing bodies. And Cordelia is like, oh, sorry, I'm like breaking things up, but I need your help, Willow. You're gonna help me with my science fair project. And Willow says, it's a fruit.
Yeah, that's it. You don't need any more help.
Yeah, but we get a little bit of information about a little bit of backstory from Cordelia. It's like, it's very interesting because she's like Scooby adjacent at this point. Like, she's kind of involved in these things. And we find out that she previously was dating Chris's brother, Daryl. And she's like, she doesn't want to hang around him because it's too painful for her.
Okay. Now, this narrative is so different than what we find out later, which I feel as though, I suppose, this is Cordelia in denial that she got, like, rejected by a man.
Yeah. Right?
Because she's saying that, like, she used to date him. and that he's dead, so it hurts too much. And then when we talk to Daryl later, he's like, sorry I never paid attention to you. Right?
I'm wondering if he means that in a way of, when I was your boyfriend, I didn't pay enough attention to you. Like, I should have treasured you more.
Really? I didn't really take it that way. I was like, oh, is Cordelia lying about having like boyfriends? Weapons?
I could have misunderstood. So I guess we'll see when we get there. We'll have to like reassess. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's certainly interesting that now, like, it's, I find this fascinating that the Scoobies aren't like, Cordelia, get out of our business meeting. Instead, they're like just chatting about everything very openly in front of her. I mean, she knows Buffy is the Slayer, but it's interesting that they're talking about this in front of her.
She's one of the Scoobies now, essentially. If only she had less obligations with cheerleading practice, she could be a full-time member.
Yeah.
That's great news for her.
I mean, I'm happy about it because it was getting a little too nicey-nicey up in here. We need someone to throw some chaos into the mix.
Yeah, the group was working too well together.
Exactly. So they're trying to figure out, why would someone want to dig up a corpse? You know, what are they doing with the bodies? Mm-hmm. And they're like, okay, well, we're gonna figure out what the heck is going on tonight. We're going to stake things out. And Buffy's like, okay, we're not. And again, Willow's like, oh, are we calling in Angel? What's going on with Angel? And Buffy's like, no, I'm off tonight. Okay. We're not going to like say anything. And Xander's very happy about this. He's like, it's BYO shovel. Let's go.
Let's go. Do you have a good shovel?
I do have a shovel.
For, dirt or for snow?
Both. I have a dirt shovel and a snow shovel. When you're a homeowner, you just end up acquiring these things.
What? Why did you buy a dirt shovel? What were you doing?
When we were doing landscaping when we like first moved in, and kind of need a shovel for that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, so you could bury a body if you wanted to.
I mean, we're really making a leap here. Like, I could dig a hole, but like 6 feet down, like I could bury a body not very far down because...
If you the know. Girls in Pretty Little Liars can dig holes, so can you.
That's true. If I really put my mind to it.
Yeah. How long do you think it'll take? Wait, actually, have you ever dug a hole in the sand, like as far as you can go?
Oh, like at the beach? Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like, I mean, it might take all day, but you could certainly dig a hole.
I could do it. Yeah. But yeah, I did enjoy Buffy and Willow just like hanging out and doing a little bit of girl talk while Giles and Xander are digging.
I know. I mean, to be honest with you, this would be me too. Like, if I can never dig anything ever again or do any sort of manual labor, please. And
you would be using your nails as an excuse instantly.
Yeah, I know, like, blah, 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 feminism, blah, 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 independent woman, blah, 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 but also... I don't want to be digging. I don't want to shovel snow. I don't want to be digging holes. Let the boys do it. If the boys want to do it, like, let them man out.
It definitely doesn't seem like the boys want to do it, but I enjoyed it nevertheless, because we get this conversation where Buffy is like, ugh, Angel was acting all jealous, but he wouldn't even admit it. And Willow says, oh, because you did that sexy dance.
This was so funny. Yeah. Of course. Was very jealous about the sexy dance.
So funny. And of course, Xander's like, oh, are you guys ever going to pick up a shovel? And Buffy says, no, I'm old fashioned. I was raised to believe that men dig up the corpses and women have the babies.
Perfect.
Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Yeah. But we also get Willow gives Buffy all the information on what happened with Cordelia and Daryl and all of that. So it turns out Daryl is Chris's older brother. He was like a super huge like football star. He was a running something. And I'm like, yes, Willow, same girl. None of us know. None of us care. That's not important to the story.
A running back?
Probably a running back. Yeah.
Running back. I think that's the one that is like the tight end, but is less in. Nope. I don't know.
A running back is the person who is going to like take the ball and run with it, versus like a wide receiver is the one who catches the ball when the quarterback throws it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But isn't like, what does the tight end do? He tackles and he catches the ball, right?
I think the tight end is offense. That's about as much as I can help. Whatever. And I don't even know if that's true. So
whatever.
It doesn't matter. But it turns out that he's like, oh, she was like, oh, he was like this. He was so studly. All the girls loved him, but he died. She says he was rock climbing or something and he fell. And so ever since then, Chris has been like, you know, very forlorn and kind of quiet. The mom doesn't leave the house at all. So yeah, not great. I you know, this is awful. I felt really bad for Chris in this moment because, and I would have liked, I did like, Sarah, how we had this kind of established thing between Willow and Chris, where like, it was very obvious that they had been friendly at the very least, or friendly in that they had the same classes and stuff.
Yeah. Like maybe science partners a few times throughout the years. Yeah. I mean, it's a very sad story. He was so young. Everybody fucking dies in this town. He was so young. He fell while rock climbing. It's a tragic story. And the fact mm-hmm. that the mom doesn't leave the house, that's very sad. It just seems like it's just like a big tragedy.
Yeah. 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 It's awful. And I think it also, I don't know, it dimensionalizes Cordelia in a way, because regardless of how Daryl felt about Cordelia, Cordelia had feelings for Daryl and he died. And like,
yeah,
you know, someone is like, you know, Cordelia can be a little shallow. So you wouldn't imagine that she would have something so tragic in her past.
Yeah. Yeah. But also Cordelia likes to make every tragedy that everybody else is having also partially about her. So yeah. It's very hard to see like what actually bothers her and what kind of almost bothers her and what doesn't bother her, because she kind of just like spins it to just reflect back onto her anyway.
Yeah. Speaking of Cordelia, she's walking to her car after cheerleading practice and she hears a noise. She thinks it's Xander, which is very interesting to me that like that was where her mind went first.
Yeah.
But it turns out it's Angel. And she's like, why were you following me? And he says he was looking for Buffy. And she's like, oh, well, big shock. She's at the graveyard. And Cordelia just spills the beans immediately. She's like, she lied.
So, yeah. And he's looking for her. And he was told by Buffy that she was taking the night off. In reality, she is not. Mm-hmm. So, I guess like this annoys him too, because he's like, wait a minute, like I wanted to creepy stalk you and hang out with you in the graveyard. And you told me that you had different plans.
Yeah, exactly. And so Cordelia's like, well, I'm free if you're interested. Let me just I got to unstick myself. I'm a little caught up here. And she's getting out of a dumpster and there's a hand just hanging out.
Yeah. Which of course also traumatizes Cordelia.
If I found a random hand.
Ugh. But we learn once they find the rest of the Scoobies that it wasn't just a hand. It was like a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
Yeah. So it's both of those coffins were empty. So now we're up to three girls that mm-hmm. have like had body parts.
Three missing girls. Yeah. Which young girls, which mm-hmm. once again, why is nobody else very concerned about all the deaths in Sunnydale?
Exactly. And I think the fact that it's all women should be even more concerning, like that there is a pattern mm-hmm. to this, that it's very obvious they have like a type that they're going after, right? And so everybody kind of congregates back in the library where we get Angel and Cordelia. Cordelia clinging to Angel in this library had me dying. Like she will not let go of his arm.
No, she needs Angel to protect her pronto.
Yeah, this is
terrifying
so
out there.
Mm-hmm. And they're talking about like, well, why are they like stealing bodies just to chop them up for parts? Like, what is the point of any of this? And why are they getting rid of the body parts at like the school, which is 5 miles from the cemetery? Like mm-hmm. why were they doing that? And so they're like, okay, well, maybe they were here. Maybe it's a student.
Yeah, like, it has to be a student.
Yeah. Which I like. I mean, that all tracks, right? This felt like solid police work to me.
Yeah, good logic. I love mm-hmm. it when the logic is making sense and they're cracking the code and they're correct.
Yeah. Yeah. And they say like, okay, we'll figure out, let's look at who's in science club first because of like physiology reasons, which, okay, that makes sense. And yeah, Cordelia says she has to go home and take a bath and burn her clothes.
But it's her cheerleading outfit. She can't burn her cheerleading outfit. Yeah.
I just love her saying, I'm so fragile. And Angel, can you take care of me?
She needs it. I mean, Angel's going to save the day. And I mean, he's full free reign, basically.
I mean, he looks at Buffy, who has these like wide eyes, and he doesn't even answer. And Cordelia's like, perfect, come with me.
I mean, it's basically, if Angel is trying to get Buffy to be jealous, I feel like Cordelia is a natural move.
Of course. Now, prediction time, just because I think this is fun to kind of put our thoughts out there. Will anything ever happen between Cordelia and Angel?
No.
For the funsies, I'm going to say yes. No. For the chaos, for the drama.
No. Yes.
It'll be fun.
No.
Oh my gosh. So then we bop over to Chris's house, where this is like so, so sad. Chris comes out of the basement and he says to his mom, "Oh, I'm going out." She like doesn't even look up. She's sitting in a chair, smoking cigarettes, watching the like football games that her son used to play in, that Daryl used to play in.
Yeah, this is so depressing.
Mm-hmm. It's so sad. Like she doesn't even respond to him.
No, Chris is nothing to her. Only Daryl, the football star. He had so much potential, and she doesn't even acknowledge the fact that she has another son that's in need of a mom, because he doesn't matter, because he's sciencey and not sportsy.
Yeah, this just made me really sad. Like, this poor kid, he lost his brother. And I mean, like, you hear about stuff like this happening where when there is a loss in the family, like either it brings people together or kind of like rips them apart.
Yeah.
And it made me really sad that poor Chris, like, he lost a brother and now he's essentially lost his mom as well, because she's stuck in her grief.
I would put money on that, like, his mom didn't really care about him before Daryl died. I feel like
it's possible. Yeah. Yeah.
But it sounds like Daryl was a good brother to Chris. Like, he looked out for him.
Exactly. So it's just even more tragic. And I really love a like sympathetic villain, and not that he's even like super villainous, but do you know what I mean? Like, I like when I can understand the motivations of why a person is doing something. And I feel like we have that in Chris. Eric, I don't really fucking know, but we know about it in Chris at least.
Yeah. Yeah. Eric is just there for the funsies.
Yeah.
For the footsies.
For the footsies, the
He's
literal
just
footsies.
Taking people's feet. So Buffy uncovers a newspaper article, or somebody, maybe Willow, they uncover a newspaper article and realize that these bodies are three young girls that died recently.
Yes. Accident kills three. Yeah. And so they're looking through, they've like looked up all the locker combinations for the people in the science club. So they're going to look through the lockers and see if they can find anything suspicious in there. And unfortunately, when they open Eric's locker, they see this like super creepy collage of a woman made from like almost like they took different magazine cutouts and like put them all together.
And they pasted them together.
Yeah. So that's creepy. And in Chris's locker, he has a lot of like anatomy books. His Grey's Anatomy, mortician's desk reference. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He has lot of like body part books.
Yeah. So then this makes them, there's a lot of leaps that they took in to figure out. It's like, we figured out that has to be a science guy, and we figured out who it is because of the science guy. But they're right. So even though
they're taking huge leaps in logic, I agree. Because it's like, oh, it has to be a science nerd. And it's like, does it though? Can't it just be a person who's like lost their mind a little bit?
No, apparently, but they're correct. So who am I to question any of it? So they realize that it is Chris and Eric who are behind this, but then what's the motivation? Like, and I think that this is when they talk about like making the perfect woman based off of body parts, because they only took certain parts from certain girls.
Exactly. And they ditched the parts they didn't need. It's not like they took one girl and were like, let's Frankenstein her up. No.
Which, like, couldn't they, if they brought back Daryl, couldn't they just bring back another girl and I give that to Daryl?
This is where I got really confused, especially because if you're going to like cob-job together a person out of different parts, it's not going to look right. You know what I mean? Like one person's head and another person's arm or whatever, or body shape or body type or height or whatever, it's just not going to go well together. So
yeah,
it's just very strange to me. But Eric is downright fucking chipper about this. He's singing My Girl as Chris is like looking over this monster they've created.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, I don't know. I think that Eric's just fucking crazy. So they still have not found the perfect head.
Right. And this is when Eric hangs up pictures of Buffy, Willow, and Cordelia. So we're a little bit concerned that
we have options here.
We have some options. We have some good head options.
Whose head do we want the best? I guess it really just depends if Daryl's into blondes, brunettes, or redheads.
I was going to say the same thing. I'm like, he just gave himself a nice hair selection.
Yeah. It's like one, two, or three. I mean, all these women are very beautiful. It's just a matter of taste.
Yeah. Yeah. And the Scoobies meet up at school the next day and they're talking. Like Xander's like, I don't understand, Buffy says, I don't understand why anybody would want to make a girl. And Xander says, oh, well, the things we do for love. And Buffy's like, this is not love. Like,
no.
But Xander, I think Xander, listen, if Xander's good for anything, it's understanding teenage boy mentality.
Yeah. And he can get into the head of a douche.
Exactly. It's like, oh, well, of course, like he wants someone who's hot, like the more unattainable, the more attractive someone is. And Willow points out that like Eric sucks so much that like everyone's unattainable.
Exactly. So they're making somebody because they can't get somebody, essentially. This is their theory at the moment. And so they have to make the perfect girl so that they can have a girl.
Right. But I like the question of like, okay, but then why is Chris involved? Like what is his motivation? And Willow says, well, like his brother's death really scarred him. He talked about death a lot. She says maybe he wanted to get a one up on it, like cheat death because his brother died.
Yeah.
It's a valid, good enough explanation as anything.
Absolutely. I think that for really working off of nothing, they're doing a pretty good job trying to figure all of this out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We get our little ask out scene between Giles and Miss Callender.
Giles looks very happy. He looks so happy. And he is trying, and Miss Callender really does the majority of the work. Like she's like, hey, like, can't we talk about whatever you want to talk about at the game tonight? So basically he asks her out, and then doesn't she say something about like going out for Mexican food after?
Yeah, so she's the one who brings up the football game, and he's like, he didn't realize she was going to be going. She says, oh, we should get together, how do you feel about Mexican? Which I love that they did this. And Giles like agrees, and I mean, I love this. This makes sense to me. I like that we're bucking tradition here and that Miss Callender, who is a woman, is asking the guy out.
Yeah.
Because let's be honest, between their two personalities, Miss Callender is the more like forward person. It feels natural that she would be the one to ask him out.
I agree. I would love to see them on the border getting their chips and salsa on. Mm-hmm. That sounds like so much fun.
They would have such interesting conversations, you know?
Yeah. Do you think that Giles is going to wear the sombrero? Like, I can see Miss Callender being like, hi, waiter, guess what? It's his birthday. Like, please.
Yeah, I think he would do it unwillingly.
And then they'll come, and then, like, they'll be like, and they'll put, like, the sombrero. Yeah, they'll put the sombrero on him, and Miss Callender will be like, ah, happy birthday! Yeah!
So funny.
Yeah, I can see that happening.
I would love this.
Yeah. Like, I like this pairing because I feel as though she can loosen him up a bit.
Exactly. I think the combination of him hanging around the Scoobies so much and also having Miss Callender, who is another adult for him to hang out with, but it's more...
Definitely needs an adult to hang out with.
Yeah. A loose, fun adult is going to, like, you know, get the starch out of his jacket a little bit, you know, loosen him up a little bit. Maybe he'll sport a denim coat at some point.
No, oh my God. Ew. We want to sport. He wanted to sport like a freaking Canadian tuxedo. Get a life.
It's so funny.
I don't know if I like Miss Calendar's like Bob.
I don't really. I don't really like it, but that's okay. So we get confirmation that Chris and Eric didn't come to school that day, and they're like, uh-oh, this is like not great. We need to figure out how they're even doing this. And the more concerning part is that they found 3 heads in the dumpster. So that means that they don't have a head picked out yet.
This is disgusting.
Yeah.
They should be able to clean up their own messes. If they're going to take bits and pieces, can't they be respectful and put the rest of the pieces back into...
That's what I was wondering. It's like, you're going to rob a grave and then just chuck a head in a dumpster? Like, clean up your mess.
Yeah, clean up your mess, you dirty, dirty boys.
Yeah. And then we cut to the actual little science experiment basement here.
Which is also so stupid because this is within the school. These
No, they're in Chris's home basement.
Oh, are they? I thought that they said that they were in like the old science lab.
No. When we see Chris earlier, when he talks to his mom, he's like coming out of his own basement to do that. Like they're in his basement. Well, but they say that they're running out of time because atrophy in the limbs, and we need to attach a head because we're going to lose the whole body. And well,
what about
like,
the 3 heads that you rejected, you dummies?
Eric says like the crash with the girls was lucky, but we can't just keep waiting around for another lucky accident. You know what we have to do. It's just one lousy girl. But Chris doesn't want to kill anyone because he knows what it's like to lose a person, and he doesn't want to do that to anyone. And then we meet Daryl.
Yeah, the big reveal. Daryl is there, and they're doing this to make a mate, a perfect partner for Daryl, not themselves. Well, I mean, maybe Eric is looking for himself as well, but Daryl is alive. And although he died, they somehow brought him back to life. And I guess all the scarring is there from his death, or did they put him together too?
That's where I was really confused, because he has like these crisscross stitches all over his face. He seems to be fine. Like, and he, you know, his arms too, like it seems like his body was like in rough shape when they reanimated him, and he's super, super pale. So very it does definitely pale. Has like this like undead vibe. Right.
Yeah.
Daryl says he needs someone. And like, so my question is, Daryl just chills in the basement all day, every day. Cause like, it's obvious that his mom doesn't think he's alive.
Yeah. I suppose so. I guess he just feels like he's too dead looking to go out into society, and is too embarrassed. And also everybody thinks that he's dead.
Yeah, and he says that he doesn't want to go out. Because Chris says we could just let you go out in public. Like, and he's like, no, you're smarter than me. I can't do that.
Yeah, I am an ugly dead person with scarring all over my face. The only thing that will make me happy is having a life partner that you also reanimated and brought back to life, but also murdered for. The logic is not there, because I feel as though Daryl can just put on some concealer and just go out the door.
Let's be real. Like, people have scarring from accidents all the time.
Fires.
Like, they waited too long, because now it's been weird. Now it's weird if he shows back up because he's been dead, you know? But he could go to another town and start a new life or something.
Yeah, like his face is unfortunate, and it does look a little bit like a raisin, but it's fine. Like, it's fine. Like, I think that if Daryl had his personality still, maybe he can get somebody, but he's also like a little unhinged. So I don't really know what's going on with Daryl. The thing is that if you bring somebody back to life, I've learned that they're not always like themselves.
Yeah.
But also, how did they do this?
No one knows. They're not very clear about how they did this. I think for reasons because it's not possible. So they're like, we're just gonna brush over that part. It's sciencey supernatural stuff.
I do think that somebody like spilled out some like science jargon, and we're like, okay, like yada yadaing it. And
I mean, Willow said something earlier about adrenaline, but I don't know.
I'm too stupid.
Yeah, but either way. We know that Cordelia is going to be their next target because Eric starts to like cut her picture, her head out of her picture.
Well, yeah. Yeah. So basically they're like, okay, Daryl, like, here's your options. You got option A, option B, option C. And Daryl's like, I like this one. And it's Cordelia, which it's like, oh, this is a person that I've already dated. Therefore I want to date this one again. But he doesn't say that. He's just like, I like this one.
Yeah, it's really weird. It's really, really weird. And luckily, the Scoobies are kind of onto their tricks and games because they say they have to have a fresh body. Like, they can't have someone who has formaldehyde in them. Like, they need a fresh, fresh body. So we've got to get to work. Like, what are they going to do? We don't see anybody in the obits that would qualify for their needs. Mm-hmm. And I love Giles because he's supposed to be, you know, on this mission, but he's like, oh, I'm supposed to be at the big game, I believe it's called.
That football game, which is so weird because they don't use their feet. It so just doesn't funny. Make sense. Yeah, the big game.
So funny. So they all agree to meet at Chris's. And Willow asks Buffy to be like kind to Chris. Like, he's not a vampire. Like, he, you know, which I understand to an extent, but he's pushed it too far when he's going to kill alive. I mean, he pushed it too far when he was tearing up dead bodies, but like now he's really pushing it to just kill a person.
Yeah. Yeah. But be nice to him and don't beat him up too much.
Yeah.
So Buffy goes over to Chris's house and she meets Chris's mom, who, and it's pretty disturbing. Like, there's trophies for Daryl still out. She's just continuing to talk about Daryl and his football achievements and everything, all that he did. And Buffy asks where Chris is, and the mom is like, I don't know. Don't know that guy. Not my son. Daryl, you know, he just did a 95-yard touchdown. So yeah. Buffy is definitely, like, getting the vibe of the house. Like, there's some, like, weird shit going on. She sees a door that says keep out, and she wants to go and investigate what this means.
Yeah, so she goes down in the basement, and that's where she sees the pictures of her and Willow, and she sees, like, the plans that has Cordelia's face on top, so she's like, I gotta get out of here. And so she leaves the basement through the window, but doesn't notice freaking Daryl watching this all go down.
Daryl is looking like a creep.
Oh, I can't. Yeah. Cordelia is in the locker room getting ready. And this is when Chris appears right behind her, and she's again very scared. She's like, what are you doing here? And he's just the distraction because Eric is gonna put a bag overhead and drag her away.
Mm-hmm.
Just as Buffy arrives, of course.
Yeah. We need eyes in the back of our heads to see everything that's going on.
I mean, I felt bad, like, it feels like Chris is really getting it from all sides. And this is why I thought it was really interesting to have him as the one of the villains, I guess, because he doesn't want to be doing any of this, but he's getting pressure from his undead brother. His mom doesn't seem to give a crap about him. He's getting pressure from Eric, who I guess just wants to make a girl to make a girl.
Or like, maybe he's like so into science, he's like, I want to have like the best accomplishment ever.
I guess Eric just seems like a big creepo to me. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, Eric gets into like an altercation with Daryl about Daryl's like really putting the heat on like finding somebody, and he like throws all these sorts of things in the basement all over. Yeah. And I don't know. It's ooh, Daryl's choking him.
But you're skipping ahead.
Am I?
Yes. because we haven't even gotten back to that part yet. Because Buffy's going into the locker room.
Oh.
And she sees Chris and Eric. And Buffy says, listen, I get it. Like, I've been through some shit. And he says, oh, but Eric has always, he's always looked out for me. And Buffy says he needs industrial strength therapy.
Yeah, he does, I guess.
But Chris says, oh, you know, he's all alone. Now he's all, and he's talking about Daryl. He's all alone. Everyone loved him. Now he's all alone. And this is when we get, Daryl just this choking is the, out
yeah,
Eric.
Let's just talk about the interesting things. Like, we get into, like, a big fight. Daryl is hulking out here. He is ready to murder, essentially. Murder for Love. Is that a show that we should watch? Murder for Love?
Is that a show?
It should be.
Oh, yeah. I thought you were Love saying, is it a show we should watch? Like, we're supposed to be watching this show that doesn't exist.
Murder for Love.
It's like, what would you do for love? Would you kill someone?
Yes, exactly.
Pick your poison. Chainsaw or hammer?
Yeah. And then you had to stitch them back together. That's the love. Yeah. Some assembly required.
So Cordelia is doing her little cheer thing after Buffy saves her, of course. And we get a little scene of Miss Callender and Giles at the football game. Giles is loaded up with, like, popcorn, drinks, flags. Like, he's ready.
Yes, he's ready. What is your stadium snack?
Gosh.
I went to the baseball the other day. I went to a baseball game. I went to the Rays game in Tampa, and I got fries. They were so good.
I think I go with, like, whatever is suggested to me by people who have, like, previously been to that stadium. Mm. You know what I mean? Because so when we went to a Mets game, I don't think it was last year. I think it was the year before. And they had this, it was like General Tso's chicken or sesame chicken or something. Mm-hmm. And then they also had, what did they call them? They were like potato kegs or something. It's kind of like a giant tater tot with cheese.
Oh, yum, yum, yum.
It was so good. And I have to be honest and say, I thought the price was kind of reasonable when you considered you're in a stadium.
Yeah.
They gave you a lot of food for, like, the amount that you paid. So I was pretty impressed with that. So if you go to the Mets Stadium, if they still have that, get it.
Yeah. We got fries and we got these, like, pretzels that were, like, cinnamon sugar with, like, a dippy sauce, like, yum, a sweet dipping sauce. Sounds and delicious. My mom had peanuts and I got peanuts.
Oh, I'm not a peanut at a ball game person.
I like peanuts. Yeah. He is with his snacks and he's kind of, like, complaining about American football and doesn't really get it. And Miss Callender kind of, like, throws it back to him and is like, what are you doing, like, making fun of my country's sport on a first date? And he's like, ooh, we're on a date.
Yeah, this is so cute. He realizes they're on a date. And I love him trying to send Willow and Xander away. He's like, I hang out with you fuckers enough. This is my date. Get out of here.
This is my special date. I don't need you guys. Get out. Don't ruin this for me.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Daryl's being a creepy creep underneath the bleachers, just looking out for Cordelia.
Or is he reliving his glory days when he was on the field?
Why not both, right?
Yeah. Two yeses, yes.
Yeah. Cordelia gets snatched up, and she gets strapped to a table. And Eric and Daryl are kind of working on the things. I feel bad for Cordelia in this moment. This is awful. This is truly terrible.
Yeah, they're telling her that they're going to cut off her head. And then she'll just feel some pain in the neck area. But then she'll wake up as a different person with a new body.
Yeah. So This is so this is when Daryl says, "You were always good to me, always noticed me, but I ignored you. I'm sorry. I'm glad I have a second chance to tell you that. I was thoughtless. I see that now, but I've changed. I've learned to appreciate how much it meant that you wanted to be with me." So I guess they weren't actually dating then.
But is that what Cordelia said earlier? She said that they were together.
It's, I guess they implied it at the very least.
All right. So Daryl didn't give her the time of day, probably because like he was a senior and maybe like she was like a freshman or a sophomore. And he was like, you know, you're just a kid, blah, blah, blah. But Cordelia is honestly freaked out.
Who wouldn't be? Like, Eric is like, oh, you're just going to feel some a little bit of discomfort. And then when you wake up, you'll have the body of a 17-year-old. In fact, you'll have the body of several. Like, of course she's going to scream.
Yeah, that's creepy. But also she was like yelling at Daryl's ugly face. And Daryl just has some scars. He's like Edward Scissorhands.
He is not. Edward Scissorhands was a gentleman. And Daryl is a monster.
How dare you, Jessica?
He's mean. He's yelling. He's like smashing people around. Like, throwing this is things. Not good.
Yeah. Edward Scissorhands would never.
Would never. He but accidentally he cut her one time.
Oh, and then he got like chased down by Anthony Michael Hall again.
Yeah.
It all connects. Just chasing people down the street. Edward so funny. Hands was a gentleman. He was a gentleman. Yes.
He was a gentleman.
A gentleman.
Luckily, Buffy runs into Chris and tells them, oh yeah, they definitely went back to the lab to like, you know, put Cordelia's head on the cop job body.
Yeah.
Poor Cordelia is like begging Daryl, like, please, you don't have to do this. We can be together. Like, I'll be with you. I promise.
Yeah.
Just so
he's like, no, it has to end this way. I need to cut off your head and put it on this other body. This other body has better tits than you. She's like, no, my boobs are fine. They're still developing.
My boobs are great. Please. Yeah. Please. Why would you want to change anything on Cordelia? She's beautiful.
She is beautiful. It. Yeah. So basically Buffy comes down. There's a whole altercation.
We need punchy, to talk about punchy. One quick thing of what's the Kiki that? Punchy sequence is when Eric throws the knife at Buffy and she just catches it. Like a badass.
Also somebody, I think it was Eric. He like put like gas all over the place.
Yeah, he's nuts. Like, this is absolutely insane. Daryl tries to take a knife and chop off Cordelia's head. Again, kicky punchy. Poor Cordelia is and then strapped.
There's an
the
open flame, and then of course everything catches on fire.
Yeah, because the gasoline bucket falls over. Not a bucket, you know what I mean. Gasoline tank falls over. This is just, it's a mad scramble. Daryl's a big dude. And like, he was in really good shape when he was alive. So like, I assume that kind of carries through.
Carries over. He kind of like flips Buffy over. He tries to throw a gas tank at her, which just makes the fire worse. Yeah. Xander sweeps in. Saves Cordelia.
Credit to Xander. He comes running in. He unties her. He does save her. I mean, listen, Buffy can't do everything. You know, she's got to kick ass. She can't be saving the civilians at the same time.
No. But Xander does push the Frankenstein's monster body into the fire. So, which then Daryl does see. And oh my God, also Xander hops on Cordelia, who is still tied up on like the gurney, and like rides out into the sunset
this
together.
This is so funny. Like this, you know what this gives me the vibe of, Sarah?
What?
This reminds me of like when you were that particular age, I would say like maybe around 10 years old, and you would go to the grocery store and with your parents, and you would you would be pushing the cart, and you would push the cart and then stand on it and ride it when you're like, bitch, you can just fucking push that cart. Like, you just push the cart, freaking Xander. You don't need to hop on it. He just wanted to lay on top of Cordelia. We all know.
Right. So, So, Cordelia's out of there, still tied up to the table. Willow and Giles, they do their own thing and try to help as well.
They get Eric out of there,
Why are we saving Eric? Buffy and Daryl are still fighting, and Daryl's about to kill Buffy with a desk, and Chris begs his undead brother to not do so. Mm-hmm. And he hesitates, but then he realizes that his beloved is going up in flames.
Yeah, so the headless body.
Yes, the headless body. So he's like, I won't be alone on my own. And he goes and burns himself up and he re-dies with the headless body so that they can be dead together. She's mine. And Daryl's like, don't do it.
It's so ridiculous. Yeah. It's like pretty funny. Yeah, like, he come just on.
Burns to death, hugging the undead dead body.
Yeah. And Chris is very like dramatic. Chris is really upset. Buffy has to like hold him back. He says, like, when I first brought him back, he said I shouldn't have. Like, I was just trying to look out for him.
Yeah, after the fact. Me. Yeah.
Yeah.
His whole place burns down. So they have to get fire trucks up in here. Mm-hmm. And yeah, like, he's just like, you know, like, I really wanted my brother back. He did so much for me. He was such a good brother. He always protected mm-hmm. me. And I just wanted to do the same for him. So I don't think that there's going to be any repercussions for Eric and Chris, but there should be. And also, I can't believe that, like, Eric got out of this, like, without
being... He needs to be in some kind of facility for...
He needs to be locked up.
Yeah, Chris needs a lot of therapy, but in my opinion, Eric is the one that I'm a little more concerned about.
Is there no charging for kidnapping? Are we not concerned about kidnapping?
We should be.
Grave digging?
I was going to say disturbing dead bodies and, you know, taking Cordelia, trying to chop her head off.
Yeah.
But on the bright side, Giles and Miss Callender will be having a second date. So that is very exciting.
Yeah, they got to get to the Mexican restaurant sometime.
Exactly. They need their chips and salsa and sombrero. Cordelia tries to thank Xander for saving her life. She says, like, oh, you were so brave and heroic. I wanted to tell you if there's anything I could ever do for you. And Xander interrupts her and is like, do you mind we're talking here?
Yeah, so because he's talking to Willow and they're trying to figure out why they can never get dates. And it's because they're, you know, not looking at really what's in front of them.
Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Xander, you fucking idiot. Are we ever going to get a Xander Cordelia thing?
Maybe.
I think it could happen as like a Cordelia fucks Xander and then is like, oh my God, what a big mistake. And then maybe they date for like a half a second.
I don't know. Is this something that we want?
I don't want it.
Okay.
It could happen.
Yeah. Okay. Sure.
Yeah. So they're talking about not getting dates. And then we get a little reuniting of Angel and Buffy, where they're talking about everything that happened that night. Buffy says, I don't love Xander. And Angel says, yeah, but he gets to be there when I can't, like, take you to class, like, eat meals with you. He gets to see you in the sunlight. They hold hands as they walk away. It seems like they're rekindling.
Okay. How exciting. This is great news.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, I don't know how it's going to work, but here we are, I guess.
Yeah, we'll see.
I mean, the kiss chemistry was really good, so I'm trying to remember that. I'm just like, mm-hmm. I don't know how long this is going to last. I don't know that I'm like the biggest shipper of this. Like, it's fine, I guess.
Don't do it.
It's okay. It's good. It's good. Not great, I think is where I land.
Okay.
But that's our episode. I really liked the premiere. I didn't love this one as much, mostly because I was like a little confused as to like what the heck was going on for a lot of it.
Yeah, this was pretty cracked, but it's fine.
It's fine. It's fine. You know, we're going to have these sorts of episodes. It's totally fine. But we did get a voicemail from Joy. So let's hear what she had to say about this episode.
Hey guys, Joy here. So Buffy does Frankenstein, which honestly was probably my least favorite part of this episode. I was much more into Giles and Miss Callender,
yes,
like vibing with each other, going out on a date, Miss Callender doing exactly what Buffy said for Giles to do in order to get this date going. And then, of course, Giles, you know, being British and chastising American football was pretty funny. Angel as a 200 something year old vampire acting like a jealous teenager, also pretty funny. And then at the end, Cordelia being like, oh my God, Xander, thank you so much. You saved my life. If I could do anything. And he's like, do you mind? We're talking. That was, that cracks me up every time. Do you guys see any kind of vibes there? Or are you thinking it's more just going to be like a will they, won't they with Xander and Willow? Just curious. I don't know the first time I watched it, how I felt. So just curious what your thoughts are. Yeah, so this episode is probably one of the lesser good ones of season two, but it is still really good. And next episode is very exciting.
Ooh.
I'm really enjoying that you guys are doing the show, as I'm sure everybody is. Like, it's iconic. It's so good. Anyway, I guess that's it. And I'll talk to you guys next time. Bye.
I mean, you saw the vibes.
Whose vibes?
Xander and Cordelia.
Oh, I think it's going to be kind of like a jokey one-off thing. In terms of Willow and Xander, they might be endgame. I hate to say it, but they might be endgame.
No.
They might be.
No.
I don't know.
Stop the nonsense. Stop that.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. We also did get a quiz. We're going to take this next week. Justin sent us in a quiz. We challenged him and he did create one.
Okay.
He created a vampire lore quiz. However, I'm running short on time today. So we're going to do this next week, Justin. We did get the quiz. We're going to take it next week.
Okay. All right.
I don't want to have to rush through it. You know,
yeah,
I
want to
sit and take my time.
Yeah.
He also mentioned, did we talk about a woman wrestler on the last podcast? I don't remember anything.
Oh, okay.
He says there was someone called Timeless Toni Storm. She's doing a Marilyn Monroe, old-time actress type character. She's been one of the best parts of the wrestling company, AEW. And apparently she does a thing where she throws her shoe.
Ooh.
So that's cool.
One time I did a competition with my friends on how far we can throw shoes.
Mm-hmm.
I did not throw the shoe very far.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Well, next time we'll take the quiz. Justin, yes. Do not worry. Should I study? Maybe I'll study.
No, you're not allowed to study.
Oh, okay.
It's supposed to be like a pop quiz.
Okay.
Okay. Next episode that Joy is very excited for is called School Hard.
School is hard.
Yeah. That's all I can think of. I don't know what that
means.
There
we go. We figured it out. School's hard. We did it.
So that will be next week. We will have a special guest joining us. So that's really exciting. Someone who is very, very familiar with all things Buffy. So I'm really excited to have our friend David on next week. I think it's going to be a big episode based on not only Joy's, little reaction there, but the fact that we have a guest usually means it's going to be a decent episode. Not always, but usually.
Yeah, that's edgic for you.
It's edgic. Yeah. Yep. Some Buffy edgic. So that will be next week. In the meantime, we put out, if you like supernatural sort of stuff, we covered The Mummy with our friend Melissa. So go check out that podcast. And then of course we're also covering Felicity. We're about to start season two, which I'm very excited for. You can also hear me on Talking Shit, where I'm covering Schitt's Creek with my friend Stuart. And Sarah, what's going on over at Whirlwind?
Just a lot of exciting stuff. Previously on Shameless, Whirlwind Investigations covering Veronica Mars. Tune in with Todd and Tommy. Girls 5 Veva. Mm-hmm. And Inside the TARDIS. So lots of great stuff over at Whirlwind Pod.
Incredible. If you want to send us in any feedback or contact us in any way, at Shit90sPod, Twitter, Instagram, we have a Gmail, and Shit90sPod.com. Send in suggestions. Like, we haven't put out the call for suggestions lately. If you have like bonus content, a movie, a topic you want us to cover, hit us up. We'll consider it. We'll take a look.
Yeah.
Totally. But until next time, here endeth.
Just ask. Shit90Shows.me.